I want you to take your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis with me, please. Let's jump over to about chapter 13. Genesis chapter number 13. And we'll be as brief as possible tonight, but try to give you the thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 8. And a very familiar passage, and we have a word that's the first mention that we want to deal with tonight, and feel the Lord be pleased with it. Genesis 13, Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." Now notice verse number 7, you'll find a word that's mentioned for the very first time in the Bible. "And there was strife," that's the word, strife. "And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." I like what Abram said. He said, for no other reason that there should not be strife between us is because we be brethren. If there's any reason, if you look, why should I be at peace and harmony and not have strife with my church family? I'll tell you why. Because we be brethren. Amen goes right there. We be brethren. Now let's pray. Father, we do love you and so thankful for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for all you do for us, seen and unseen. We just pray, Lord, you take this message, use it for your glory. Help your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, we're preaching. This is an old message. I don't know how many times I've used this text over the years. I don't know when the last time was I preached. It could have been last week. I don't know. But I know the Spirit of God has led my heart here tonight. And I want to share with you Abraham's view or his point of view when concerning strife. And so in the text, we have the first mention of the word strife. Now, strife is a word that means contention, quarreling, and fighting. Now, they was having growing pains. Lot and Abram, God was blessing. Matter of fact, God was blessing Lot because of Abram. It was kind of pouring out on the Lot. If you want to get some God on, you be around somebody that's already got God on them. Hello. There's a proof text there. If you want to be around somebody saying, you know, I'm going to be more spiritual, don't get around somebody that's not spiritual. They're going to drag you down. If you want to be more spiritual, get around somebody spiritual. Somebody that their spiritual life means something to them. And you get around them, that'll rub off on you. Come on. Amen. So Lot was being really blessed of God because of Abram, his affiliation. He's in the family, a nephew of Abram. So there's a few things, honestly, a couple things that caught my attention that bear mentioning about the text and about what's going on in the text. Number one, the first time strife shows up, it is between the brethren. Get a hold of that. The very first time that strife shows up, the first time contention and quarreling and fighting show up, it shows up between the brethren. So it's clear, a tool of Satan to tear apart God's people is strife. A tool of Satan to tear apart God's people. If he can cause a strife in the church amongst people, it don't have to be but two people, three people, four people. It don't have to be the cold. Hey, he can really run havoc in the local church. If you love God, you want to be all that God wants you to be, you don't see God's hand continue on your church, stay away from strife. Amen. Amen. Stay away. You know, a good modern word for strife is drama. Some of you young people may not understand strife, drama. Don't be the cause or don't get in the middle of it. Hey, if you ain't got a dog in the fight, go on home. A lot of times things get bigger. You say the problem got Abram's herdman and Lot's herdman. Hey, they didn't have a dog in the fight. It wasn't theirs. It didn't belong. That problem didn't belong to them. It belonged to Abram and Lot. But they get to quarreling one to another, and it caused problem. It caused separation in the family.
Right. You're right.
Amen. That's right. If you ain't got a dog in the fight, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I come to find out, hey, some things I know a pastor needs to get involved in, but there's some things I'm glad y'all don't tell me. The older I get, I got my own problems. Remember this. Remember, God moves and blesses. Satan moves and messes. That's the Tommy Turner quote right there. God moves and blesses. Satan moves and messes. That's a fact. That's a fact. Now, the second thing that bears mentioning here. The first time strife shows up, it's not only shows up between the brethren, but for it to really manifest, at least one has to be carnal.
Amen. You're right.
For strife to really, if both are spiritual, get hold of this. If both are spiritual, the atmosphere of strife can spring. The devil's going to do it. Ask Paul when you get to heaven. But if both are spiritual, it can be snuffed out quickly.
Right.
See, I tell you where pride shows up. It shows up when we're trying to prove ourselves right.
Uh-huh.
Bible said, why don't you suffer yourself to be defrauded? Why don't you just say, well, whatever. Quit trying to prove your point. Oh, we like to prove your points, don't we? That's pride. I've been told in my life, and this is not a brag thing. You can laugh if you want to, but it's not a brag thing. It was a day in my life I'd argue with the wall. And that wall had more character than I did. It never talked back. I come to find out now, I'm not arguing with you. You don't like it? I'm sorry. I don't agree with that? I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit. I've had people take me to my office and or want to meet here, and they try to stir it up with me. I had a family visit here this years ago. And the ones that was here don't remember them because I don't remember their name. I don't. Thank you. And the Lord wants us to come be a member here. Praise God. And then it took 30 minutes to tell me all the stuff was wrong with the church. I said, wow, I was thinking about resigning myself. I can't help these people. And I said, but you said the Lord was leading you here. I believe that. I said, well, did he tell you to tell me to straighten all this stuff out before you joined, or what's happening here? What you share? He didn't like our Sunday school teachers. He didn't like this. He didn't like that. Didn't like the other. I mean, he asked me all kind of questions. He asked me, you got to be in that church that smoke? I said, probably. They Turner's in here. They probably smoking. I mean, it's crazy stuff like that. I mean, really? I mean, I can go to churches right now and point out fault. We've not arrived. We're trying. I mean, we're striving. But I'm thinking, you know what, brother? I said, you know, the Lord knew our faults before. I mean, he didn't tell you to join here and then say, well, wait a minute, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Well, you put it on your heart. I mean, you know, to join here, to be a part of here, then duh.
That's right.
And man, it was hard for me not to just go off. But for strive to exist and to flourish, somebody or both people, but in this text, at least one is carnal. At least one in the situation is carnal. Both could be, but in the text, one was. Notice, Abraham never tried to argue. He never tried to prove his point. No matter what, he loved Lot, and he said, "I'd rather separate from you than to have strife between you." And then he said, "Whatever you want, whatever you choose, I'll be glad." Hey, he put himself second. He put himself in the back seat. When the covenant was with him, God's hand was on him, and God's hand continued to be on him. And God proved what Lot was later. So you ain't got to argue with him. God approved that. Got to prove that. Stay out of things. If somebody wants to stir up strife with you, hey, don't let them.
Amen.
They told lies on Jesus. We're no better than him. They spoke evil of Jesus. We're no better than him. Oh, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I used to eat me alive too. Now I know. Hey, whatever. You don't like me, you're in a long line. But the Lord said, "I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies." I'm still eating. God's still blessing me. These people believe all kind of junk on me, and that's fine. God's still using me by the grace of God. He's still feeding me. He's still helping me. He's still providing my needs. Hey, he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't have to run it down, fight it out, and have strife in my heart. God will take care of that in his time. Don't let Lot rob your joy. Don't let Lot rob your joy. They'll want to. They'll be it's all a growing process. You understand, to mature as a Christian, you got to go through these processes with people.
Right.
And it's the brethren. It's the brethren. See, there's no such thing anymore. If a man has aught against another man, he goes to him and tells him his fault between he and him alone. And if he repenteth, you forgive him. And even, folks, I learned a long time ago, I've said this 100 times, I apologize for stuff I'm not wrong for. Because it's just not worth the fight to me anymore. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, I may say, "Lord knows I didn't mean it in my heart that way. I didn't mean it in my heart that way." But it don't matter how I meant it. It's how you received it, and I'm sorry. I apologize. And that ought to be the end of it. One time there was a lady offended about something, boy, she just got all the pieces, and not saying that she was wrong for being upset. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that insensitive. But, you know, I helped her and another person get it worked out. But yet, that didn't seem to be good enough. She kept wanting to, you know, beat the dead horse. Hey, that's not scriptural. The Lord don't beat a dead horse when we ask him to forgive us of our sins, does he? He doesn't say, "Well, I forgive you, but, Lord, you don't know how bad you hurt me." Huh? Strife. So, I think it would be safe to say, if strife is in the church, somebody or both bodies are carnal. Strife, again, means contention, quarreling, fighting. Abraham's view of strife was a very simple yet very spiritual. Look at verse number 8. And Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray." That "I pray" means it is very serious for him. between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. He said, I'll take a back seat to keep strife down, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. He said, I'll do it. Abraham was saying more than we realize in that text. You see what Abraham and Lot, even knew, being brethren, meant more to Abram than any property or any being right about anything or any riches. We are brethren, and it should not be. And it caused confusion. Can I say this in the congregation? Amongst their herdsmen. And you know what happened? People chose sides. Between Lot's herdmen and Abram's herd. Now there's a division. Strife brings division. And if that's not dealt with, it brings separation. Now again, I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but Lot's herdmen and Abram's herdmen worked close together, so there had to be some friendships there. Because they was working for one cause. They was working in one field for one purpose. And when all that started, when the strife started, the division came. And there was men that never spoke to one another again after that. All because Lot was carnal. You know what's sad about this, Brother Jonathan? Yeah, they got it on Antarctic in here right now. Some of them saying that fish ain't bothering me either, by the way. What was I saying? What boggles me is Lot didn't deal with that sin. Look where it led his life. It never bothered him. Wow. He never felt remorse. He never got upset about it. Hey, he walked out of there and he looked at the plain of Jordan and he pitched his tent towards Sodom and said, ha! I got him. He felt accomplished. I got Uncle Abram told off. Our herdman stood there, grand boy, look at us. The whole time God's shaking his head at him. Hey, don't think, well, I got them told. Boy, I'm rough and I'm tough and I'll tell them. Go ahead. And you think you accomplished something, go ahead and go down there. It's going to lead you to more sin, and your life will be destroyed.
That's right.
You and I can say this. If Peter hadn't pinned it down under divine inspiration that Lot had a righteous soul, we'd all put him in hell right now. He vexed himself, vexed his spirit with the ungodliness, his righteous spirit with the ungodliness, and none of us would put him in heaven right now if the Bible didn't say he had a righteous soul.
All right.
You better be careful.
Right.
Because even if you are the cause of strife, you better humble yourself and get it right.
Amen.
And if you're not the cause of strife, you better have a spirit like Abram. Hey, love on them.
Amen.
And let God deal with it.
Right.
I mean, here we go. We go to strife. Then we go to division. Then we go to separation. It never should have happened.
Folks, again, I don't know if Lot ever laid in a cave after he committed such wickedness. He said, you know what? I'm going to backtrack my life. And I'm going to go back. And that's where it started. How many times did Uncle Abraham save his life? How many times he stood in the gap for him? I mean, man, he get captured. Abraham went and got him, risked his own. I mean, he was there for him. Folks, be careful turning on people that's there for you. That has stood the test for you.
Right.
Don't be so quick to turn your back on them. Come on.
Amen.
Boy, it's quiet here tonight. I must be hitting a nerve somewhere.
Yeah.
Ah.
God knows. What was the problem here? Let me give you some quick things. We're finished tonight. Why should there not been any strife between them? Number one, they had the same birth. They come from the same lineage. They had the same birth. Hey, folks, you and I have the same birth.
Amen.
Talking about spiritually.
Right.
The blood of Jesus, they had the same birth and the same blood.
Right.
They were set apart.
Amen.
By God. God pulled Abram out of the year of the Chaldeans and made him a great nation. What we know of the Jews today. You understand, Abram was the first Jew.
Right.
Come on. He was the first Jew. From Abraham's lineage, he made him a great nation. They had the same birth. You and I, we are part of the body of Christ. We have the same birth and the same blood. There shouldn't be any strife between us.
Amen.
They had the same birth. They had the same blood. They had the same blessings. Folks, you understand? God originally gave that promise, that Abrahamic covenant, that's unconditional, by the way. He gave that to Abraham. Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. Hey, I'm talking about he's going to make him a great nation. And his lineage ago, it'd be as the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. I mean, hey, all that falls into place through Lot and everybody after them. Folks, these spiritual blessings that's for the church, they are all of ours. Nobody, not one Christian has a hold on all the blessings. God's got plenty of, he blesses all of his people. Why in the world would we allow jealousy, envying, and strife? Those three always come together. Jealousy is usually the culprit. Envying is a higher form of jealousy. And then that brings strife, fuss and quarreling. And when God, hey, folks, every talent you have, God give it to you.
Right.
Every ability you have, God give it to you. Every dime you got in the bank, God give it to you.
Right.
Everything you have is blessings from the Lord. Nobody can stand in here and think they're better than anybody else. We are what we are by the grace of God, and we have what we have because God has provided it. Just because you can't say you're a hand and you might be a toe in the body don't mean you're insignificant. Paul's talking about unity of the body over there, and he's talking about the body using a natural body. Don't say because I'm not a ear, I'm not a hand, that I'm insignificant. No. Hey, you ever broke your little toe? You'll find out how significant it is when you hit that coffee table. Hey, lose a toe.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, you know. Some of you that know fault diabetes, you know. Hey, some of you that's been in accidents at work, lost a finger. Well, I don't. It's just that finger. You find out every part of our body is significant.
That's right. That's right.
God places in the body as he wills. So I can't, if I'm the big toe, I can't get mad at the head. I'm placed in the body where God can trust me in the body. So therefore, I can't strut around like I've arrived and I'm some big shot. So there shouldn't be any strife between us. Are you listening to me? So they had the same birth, the same blood, the same blessings. They had the same beliefs. Both believed in God. Again, Lot had a righteous soul. Abram had a righteous soul. Hey, it went like they had a doctrinal difference. Folks, as far as I know, there's no doctrinal differences here. We believe in the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. We believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe in the Word of God being the final authority, God's holy word. We believe in separation. We believe in, all of us have the same beliefs. So why is there strife? Jealousy, envying, then comes strife. Jealousy, envying, and then comes strife. Notice this also. Not only did they have the same birth, the same blood, the same blessings, the same beliefs, they had the same bond. that same love. Abraham proved his love for Lot in chapter 14, risked his life to save his life. Lot didn't even so much even thank him for it. Get a hold of that one. Didn't even thank him for it. Lot had to kind of watch the mentality of what's going on around here now. Entitlement. Entitlement. You owe me. Abram didn't owe him anything. I want you to take your Bibles. This has been like a little devotion, but take your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's go down to verse number 29. We'll read, you know, about four verses left. I'm going to give you a second to find your place. Our time's about gone. But notice Ephesians 4, verse number 29. The Bible says, let no, that means none, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, as even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, there's a message here, that I could preach about what grieves the Holy Spirit in the church. Folks, you understand when Paul deals with something like he's hit this subject to the Ephesian people, you know why? There's a problem with this in that church. As he's writing that, and there's problems with this in churches in general. The first thing that grieves the Holy Spirit is corrupt communication that proceeds out of our mouth. Of course, we know corrupt means that which tears down. It doesn't build up. When we begin to run each other down, it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. If it's proceeding out of your mouth, then you're in sin. Then number two, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So we find pretty quickly, hey, if we're not careful, strife, jealousy, envy, strife will bring bitterness. You ever seen a baby eat a lemon? It's the funniest thing in the world. But that's the way some people's heart's doing. When they allow something's happened or something, they allow it to get in their heart. That's the way their inside, their heart spiritually is doing. Wrath, that's another step from anger that means to get even. I'm going to get even with them. Wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor, you know, it talks about clanging, noise. It's to complain loudly. The madder you get, the more bitter you get, that wrath builds up and you get loud about it. That's not spiritual. Right. Evil speaking. The Lord said, put that stuff away from you. It grieves the Spirit of God in the church. Right. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God in the church. I want to make something clear tonight. You don't have to ever wonder if I have an issue with you. You don't have to wonder it. Because if I have such an issue that bothers me to the place to allow the Spirit of God to be grieved in the house of God, I promise you I'm running to you humbly, tearfully, and I want to get it right. Oh, we like every other family. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. But hallelujah, not to the point where I'm so mad at you that I just can't stand that man. God, forgive me. Huh? Folks, yeah, families get on each other's nerves. Sometimes I hang on people in my family to get on their nerves. I do it on purpose. Especially when I see they're not really chipper in the mornings, and I happen to be. That's a long shot, but sometimes it happens. But not to the place where I want to let corrupt communication about them proceed out of my mouth. Not to the place where I want to get bitter and have anger and wrath against them and clamor and evil speaking. Not to that point. I want to just rip their testimony apart. We're brethren. We're brethren. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want anybody here to leave upset at me. I love you. If I've done something wrong, I want you to say, hey, preacher, that offended me. Now, if you come to me and say, boy, that truth offended you, now, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm not going to fuss at you. I'm going to say, well, I can't apologize for the Word of God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Walt. In my life, here's where I'm dealing with, and I'm not super spiritual at all, and I'm not saying that to brag either. But I've had to deal with my reactions a whole lot more than my actions since I've been a Christian. My reactions are pitiful at times. They're awful. I've done more apologizing for reaction than action. Come on. I'm not talking about just in church. It's everywhere. You know, you get cut off. That's the action. I got cut off several times coming back from Thomas's in the last few days. I'm just going to be honest with you. I tell my wife the other day, y'all please pray for me. I said, I had to hold my middle finger down. I wasn't going to do that. But that's what I told her. Some of y'all going, man, we got the wrong preacher. Hey, you got a preacher to tell you the truth? Instant reaction. Dear Lord, help me. I can't do that. I can't behave that way. God give me the grace to not do it. And I promise you, it's His grace. I hate to say this, folks, but when something scares me, I automatically go from scared to mad. Y'all like that? Come on, y'all ain't super spiritual on the Wednesday night. Y'all, we all have backslid. But our reactions, do you understand? Do you understand the importance of Abram's reaction? I mean, that's a whole different message. But you understand the importance, and I said all that to say this, of Abram's reaction. Lot didn't get one out of him. Lot didn't get one out of him. That infuriates some people more than if you had just stood nose to nose with them and give it back to them. Abram's reaction was love. Abram's reaction was tenderness, love. Hey, there should be no strife between us. He knew exactly. Lot didn't have the wool put over his eyes. He knew he was carnal, knew he was petty, he knew he was just a big baby. And he was under Abram's authority, and he could have, so to speak, took his belt off to it.
That's right.
But he embraced him. He embraced him and said, please, let's don't do this. Let's don't do this. Amen. Let there be no strife between us. Yeah. We be brethren.
That's good.
And that should be our reaction to someone trying to stir it.
Right.
Yeah. Quit adding kindling to the fire. Quit pouring gas on it. You want it to end? Back off from it. Back off from it. Well, you don't know what they said about me. Nobody cares. And get this. We all know you. We don't believe it no way. Amen. I listen to all kind of stuff. Okay, goes in one ear and out the other. I pray about it, but hey, let me tell you something, Brother West, ain't but one person can come between me and you, and that's me and you.
That's right.
You pull me out to church and say, I'm telling you something, I don't like West Thompson. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to say, well, I'll pray about that. But that's not going to make me think less of him. So the best thing you do, just quit talking about people. Because honestly, you're not going to change. Now, you may change a couple of people's mind. And that's all right. But those that know the Lord, those that are spiritual, those that know you, those that, quit and let the devil make it big to you.
That's right.
Amen. It's not. It's keeping you up at night. Stop it. Stop. They ain't changed nobody's mind. They ain't changed my mind about you. They ain't changed this congregation's church, their mind about you. Stop. Back off from the strife, the drama. Back off. Ain't nobody buying it. They can't stop God from blessing you. They're not going to make everybody hate you and think evil against you. Hey, but anyway, part of the Christian life is that's happening. But they ain't going, hey, God's going to have people there for you. He's there for you. He's going to bless you and use your life. And they're going to run their mouth. That's all they're good for.
Amen. That's right.
Divorce yourself from man's applause. Divorce yourself from man's opinion.
Amen.
Back off from it. Quit worrying about it.
Good.
Well, they won't be my friend. Well, that's their loss.
Amen.
When you're going to get 55 years old one day, you're going to say, you know what? I have my spouse, I have my children, I have my grandchildren. I have a few friends. You know what? I'm a blessed man.
Amen.
I don't need an entourage around me all the time. Matter of fact, the less around me, the better I like it. Amen. Let there be no strife between us because we be brethren.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Miss Courtney's coming. That's my thought tonight. That's my thought. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar's open. If you need to come, Miss Courtney's coming.